Seeing the grace of God. Thank the Lord for what He's doing, for what He's done. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. I just like coming to church. I like worshiping. I like looking out and seeing all the old beautiful people.
Thank you.
Especially you, Brother Tom. Going to be reading in quite a few places. First place we're going to read this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 2. But I'm going to be preaching on this subject for just a little bit, growing in the hand of God. And you know, we got several places, but I want to share something. I want you to think about something for just a minute, considering the stages of growth or the stages of life. You know, when we come into this world as newborn babes, absolutely, completely, and fully dependent, just hungry and need to be cared for. Then the newborn babes, they begin to grow. I can remember when my daughter was born, and I would hold her, and I would always try to get her head supported, you know. Kendra had an aunt that came to the house, and I guess she had more experience than me. She grabbed Jessica, and Jessica's head was just bobbing around, and I'm over here, I'm in a panic state. I like to hold babies when they can hold their own head up. And they begin to grow, then they become toddlers. They start learning to walk, learning to talk. And they learn to say no. And they continue to grow and they become children. And we teach them their ABCs and their numbers and shapes and colors. And then they begin to really grow faster. They're running by now. And before you know it, there's now a new category called preteen. They don't have to be teenagers to develop an attitude. They're preteen. I mean, children nowadays, they grow so fast, they learn so much. They stop playing with toys and cars and baby dolls sooner. Preteen has growing pains and wants to be older than they are. And then, of course, the teen years. I had a guy told me, he said, it's like the aliens come and take them away. Usually for girls, they leave in the seventh grade and they don't come back till about the first year of college.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what teenagers are. Y'all are very special. You're special people with a special purpose. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that we should train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, I know that means teach him the Word of God, but every one of you has been given a special gift. What I believe that Scripture is talking about is us having the wisdom and understanding as parents and as leaders to see that gift and develop it. See, I recognize that my job as a parent is not to turn my boys into a mini-me. That's why sometimes parents, they try to live vicariously through their teenager, and because you wanted to be a cheerleader, you're forcing your daughter to be, or because you wanted to be a ball player, you're forcing your son to be. Well, you may have wanted a ball player and God gave you a musician. That God has a sense of humor too. But you see, the teen, and they grow, and before you know it, they're young adults. And as a young adult, they begin to work, they go to school, and they start to contribute. And that's when they generally come back to you and they start thanking you for what you've done. And then they become an adult. That's the working years. I had a conversation with my oldest boy a couple of weeks ago. I said, 25 to 55. I said, you got to work as hard as you can work. And make as much money as you can make. And save for yourself, because when you get to that 55, if you hadn't done it, a lot of companies not even going to hire you. Then you get to senior adult. And when you're a senior adult, you are reflecting. You're looking back. You're giving wisdom. But even as a senior adult, you are still growing. You see, because I don't believe you ever stop growing. And I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. But one thing I'll say about adults and senior adults especially is the older I get, the more respect I have for seniors and my elders. And it's not just for somebody who has a great education or just for somebody who's been greatly successful, but it's somebody that knows what it means to live. And wisdom is this. Wisdom means skill at living. Now, I want you to think about those stages for just a minute. But what happens at any of those stages when we're not reaching our benchmarks? What happens when the newborn babe is supposed to be holding its head up and it doesn't? What happens when that baby is of an age that they should be walking and they're not? You know that they're of an age, but it hasn't happened. What happened when they should be speaking or talking and saying words by now, and it's just not happening the way it's supposed to? What happens when they become toddlers and, you know it's supposed to be the terrible twos, but your child's not doing what they need to do? What about when they're your children? And we look at them and they're growing, and we complain about sometimes the things we go through, the homework, the work, the teenage years, but what about if it's time for them to be doing certain things at school and they can't do it? Or they're not doing it. Or they're supposed to be driving, but they just can't. What about when they become young adults and they should be beginning to take care of themselves, but they're not doing that? Sometimes it could be a physical or a mental reason, but sometimes it's just lack of maturity. What about when they get all the way to the age of adult and they're 40, 30, 50 years old and they're still having to be treated like they're teenagers? They won't take care of themselves. They won't accept responsibility. And parents end up raising grandchildren and sometimes even great-grandchildren. You see, there's a growth stage. You get to be senior adults, I'll tell you, young people, what you ought to do. You ought to respect them. They've earned it. Young men should hold the door. You should say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They've earned that. You know, when I begin to think about this and I thought about this message and I think about what's written in the Word of God, I want to give you some reflections from the Word of God, because the Bible has somewhat to say about this. Now, here's the message this morning is about growing in the hand of God. And can I tell you this? You don't just get saved and that's it. In your relationship with God, as long as you're on this earth, you should be growing in your relationship with God. You can say, well, I'm 75 years old. I've got it figured out. No, you don't. You will be growing till the day that God calls you home. It starts here. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, wherefore, listen to these things, the preface here of the scripture, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, there is a time for milk as newborn babes in Christ. And I love to see newborn babes in Christ. I love to see people get saved. I love to see the enthusiasm, the excitement. But you don't stay babes long. Some grow faster than others. You see, there comes a time when there is also a time for meat.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse 11, I want to give you another verse. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's maturing and that's growing. But in Hebrews chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 11, and this is when it says of whom in the 11th verse, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, speaking of whom Jesus Christ, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing or slow of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which ye first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, there's a time to be a newborn in Christ, and then there's a time for us to allow God to make us men and women of God. And what he's speaking of here in the book of Hebrews, he says, I can't even speak the things to you because you should be eating meat, but you're still drinking milk.
Amen.
Well, you see that in people. You know, there's also an accountability factor noted in the scripture. And this is where it really begins to be tough. And it's tough on me because, you know, I'm without excuse. I mean, I didn't just get saved last year or the year before. I was in church when I couldn't hold my head up. I was in church when we had Bible school. And if you look around the church, there's some of those fans. Some of you remember those. I was in church when we had to raise the windows because we didn't have air conditioner. I was in church and in church and in church and in church. I've heard preaching. I've been around some of the best men of God. That I say that because I look back and I reflect on it. The character, the way they live their lives. I can't stand and claim ignorance. You see, the Bible has something to say about that also. There's an accountability factor in the story of the unfaithful steward in Luke chapter 12. And in the 47th verse and the 48th verse says this, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more. Well, here's how that affects me. I can't say I didn't know, because I do know. And I have been taught and I have heard and I have been told. You see, what I want you to understand and what I want us to be able to see is that the heart's desire of any preacher who loves his congregation and his church is that that church will grow. You see, sometimes, and you think about your children, you know, sometimes we look at them and they're so sweet. And you ever said this? I just wish they could stay that little forever. But if they did, would you be happy? You know, you wouldn't. You'd look at them and you'd begin to be concerned and you'd have desire. And I want to tell you what a pastor wants. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that you might be saved. Can I say these altars are always open? And I want to tell you, when I listened to Mandy sing that song, and by the way, I want to hear that song again, okay? I thought, how can somebody that's lost sit? Sometimes when I'm in the house of God and the Spirit is moving, I'm saying, how in the world can somebody be in the presence of the Spirit of God the way it's moving and not move? Amen. Well, folks, the altars are always open. You can pray while I'm preaching. It won't stop me. Because I'm going to follow God till he says that's enough, and we're going to let the revival break out if that's what it takes. But can I tell you, a preacher, when people are saved, his desire is that you grow in your relationship with God. We had a conversation at work. We got some positions open, trying to fill them. And I was sitting with a guy, and he was complaining about not getting help. And I said, have you ever thought that every person who works in this building was trained in this building? Now, have y'all ever thought that every person who serves in this church, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every minister, every Awana worker at one time was lost. They were saved by the grace of God. God began to work in their life, and He called them to a place where He can use them for His honor and glory. That's what God does, and that's what God wants to do in your life. This scripture in Philippians chapter number 1, and I want to read just a couple of verses to you. And listen to this. This is Paul's desire for the Philippians, and I believe this is the mission for ministry. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8 says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, or in all understanding, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, what's Paul saying? He's saying, my heart's desire for you is that you will grow. Now, the question I guess we have for ourselves, question I have for myself, the question you should ask yourself, am I completely satisfied with where I'm at in my relationship with God? Have I grown as I should based on the work that God has attempted to do in my life? Because if you're not growing, you're actually in decline. You say, well, I'm not in decline. Well, if you're not growing, you are. You say, well, can everybody grow? Yes, everybody can grow. And I want to tell you that I believe with all my heart, every day that you're on this earth, one thing about the journey through life is that even as you get up into your senior years, you're going to be facing things that God's going to have to carry you through. And the way you grow is when you walk through them, you reach up and you take Him by the hand, because He's still God, He's still Father, He's still on the throne, He still has a plan. We don't understand it. We're not going to be okay if we don't follow Him. So we get a hold of His hand and we walk with Him, or we decline. So the question is, where are you at in your relationship with God? Now, I want to read this verse of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And I've got so much Scripture, I realize and understand that I really cannot preach it all, but I have to give it to you to get you to understand how we're pulling some context. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, this is the prayer of Jabez. And if you remember, as you're going through that chapter, it's name after name after name after name. And then it comes to Jabez. And it says this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, the title of our message this morning is Growing in the Hand of God. Jabez specifically asked that the hand of God will be on him. And as I begin to think about this, I thought about some scripture, and I want to give you some principles out of Matthew chapter number 14. What happens when you are in the hand of God? What happens to your growth? What happens to your life? In Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to read in the 15th verse. This is where Jesus feeds 5,000. And if you know the scripture, he did it with 5 loaves or 5 pieces of bread and just 2 fish. So here he's got 2 fish and he's got 5 loaves. There are a multitude that follows them. It comes to evening and the disciples say, send the multitudes away. We're going to read down to the 19th verse, and I'm going to give you these principles. I'm going to give you the thoughts that I have. It says, Matthew 14, 15 says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food.' But Jesus saith unto them, 'They need not depart, give you them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.'" Now sometimes people say, "All I've got is..." Now if you look around, and I thought about this when I come in the door, there's a little tub out there for Cobb Street Ministries, and I want to thank you for supporting them. We have Guatemala Missions, and I want to thank you for supporting them. We have a big youth group here, and I want to thank you for supporting them. We're trying to pay for land, and I want to go ahead and thank you, because I'm absolutely confident that in 2 years it's going to be paid for. I have no doubt in my mind. You say, "Well, how can we do that? We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Listen to the next verse. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, "That's not good enough." He didn't say, "That's not big enough." He didn't say, "What you got's not enough." He said, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me." And it says, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude." Now here's the prerequisite. Now we're just pulling this principle, and I'm going to give you these, and you'll see them right here in this 19th verse. You got to bring what you got. Now here's what to understand about you and your relationship with God. Where you're at right now today, just like you are. The Bible says, "Just as I am, just as you are." You come to him. You bring what you've got. You think, "Well, it's not enough. I can't do it. I can't make it." Well, you're not going to do it by yourself. You're going to do it walking with a Heavenly Father who loves you, who's bigger than anything you can imagine. Amen. And here's what he did. The first thing is he took it. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's in his hand. He said, Jabez said, "That your hand would be with me." When he took it, it's in his hand. Then here's what he did. He held it up to the Father, and he blessed it. Now, I want to be in God's hand, and I want to be blessed. I want God to bless me. I want God's hand on me more than anything. I don't want to be dependent on my ability. I want him to put his hand on me. But here's where it gets difficult. The next thing he did is he broke it. And for you and I to grow in our relationship with God, sometimes God has to break us. He has to take us apart and put us back together in such a way that honors and glorifies him. And he break it. And after it was broken, then he gave. You see, after it was broken, then it was able to be used for his honor and glory. Now, I want to give you just a few points, and I know this is different this morning, the way this is coming together, but this is the way that God gave it to me, how you can multiply or grow in the hand of God. And here's number one. You must surrender to the hand of God. You see, many people never mature in Christ because they never completely surrender to him. You see, what they do is, a lot of people want to do this, they will say, "Well, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ." But here's the question. Is he Lord of your life? Yes. Because if he's not Lord of your life and you've not surrendered to him, you're not going to grow in your relationship with him. You're not going to get closer to him. You're not going to be able to be used by him. He must be Lord of your life. You see, here's what you have to do. Sometimes young people get saved when they're just teens. I got saved when I was 12. I didn't know one day I was going to have to be praying about who God wanted me to spend my life with. Didn't even cross my mind. I thought all girls had cooties. I didn't know that I would come to the point that I would have to be praying about, God, do you want me to take that job and move my family to another state? Do you want me to move across country? God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to serve? I didn't know when I got saved that I was going to be walking down the hall at Lithia Springs High School and God was going to speak to me and He was going to interrupt my life and say, I want you to preach my word. And I had to come to the point, was I just going to be called by His name and live my own life? Or am I going to surrender to the will of God and let Him be Lord of my life and guide me and lead me in every decision that I make? Make it according to His will and not mine. Amen. See, if I'm going to grow in my relationship with God and in the hand of God, I've got to surrender. See, you surrender. In this process, here's the way it is. When you surrender, it's blind faith. Here's what I like to do. I like to say, okay, Lord, if you'll write it out for me, if you'll send me a text or an email, if you'll show me how it's going to be done. But He wants you to surrender in faith. You see, sometimes you surrender in faith, and the truth is, and I know this about me, and my wife reminds it, me of this, that men want to be in control. You want to be in control of everything. You want to be in control. If anything's out of control, you get upset, and they say that a man can get one thing out of control, he's sideways. Two things, he's about to fall down. Three things get out of control in a man's life, and he can't manage. But I want to tell you, sometimes, remember, He took. You surrender, and He's blessing. You see, what we don't realize as Christians, as children of God is always doing something. When you don't know it, if you're born again, saved by the grace of God, God's always doing something. But sometimes, it's just like those little kids. My little grandson, little Zeke, y'all got to all see him. I wish we could get him in here, but we can't. I'm preaching. We were really concerned about him. But I'll tell you something. Went and saw him this week. He didn't want you to pick him up. Amen. Everywhere we went, he was walking, and when he wanted something, he learned how to pick up speed. And you know, he used to, when they were here at Christmas, I'd try to stand him up, and he wouldn't stand on his legs. He wanted to be held. But I'll tell you right now, when I pick him up, it gets rough. Now, I've told you the stories before about working in the nursery, but I want to tell you something. You're the same way in your relationship with God. When God gets His hand on you and He begins to do that breaking and that molding and that working, here's number two. You must remain in the hand of God. Because you can resist the will of God, you can resist the work of God, you can resist the hand of God until God will put you back down. Until you're willing to be led. See, God's not going to force you to grow. He's not going to force you to be what you should be. He's not going to force you to be the person that He wants you to be for His honor and glory. You must be willing to remain in the hand of God. Amen. Now, to do that, you got to be persistent. Can't tell you how many times I've seen people say, well, I tried and it just didn't work. And I said, well, how long have you been trying? 3 months. Amen. It's like this. Well, I took the Sunday school class, and you know, they're just not coming. So you going to quit? Sometimes you got to be persistent. You got to hang in there, and you got to be willing to do the right thing. It's like the person that says, well, I want to try to do what's right, and I want to invite my spouse to come. And I've invited them to come 6 times, and they won't come, so I'm just going to quit too. You got to remain in the hand of God. And sometimes, I know this is hard, but you must be patient. It's not easy. You ever been around somebody that's praying for patience? You ever been in a lobby at the airport and you meet somebody that's praying for patience? I don't want to get on a plane with them. As I tell you what the Bible teaches, you pray for patience, you're going to have tribulation. That's that breaking. That's when God is doing things in our life. And I heard Charles Stanley say this. I've said it many times. Prosperity makes monsters, but adversity makes men. I don't like the things that force me to pray, but sometimes I need to pray. You see, to remain in the hand of God, you must be attentive. There are times that I just get absolutely hungry to hear from God. There needs to be a hunger. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And sometimes we only think it's church if it's church our way. If it's our song, if it's our music, if it's our kind of preacher. I tell you what we need to listen for is the Spirit of God. Because men are just men. You must be serious. That means of pure motive. You see, what we do for the Lord. It's for His honor and glory. It's not about us. Amen. That means sometimes when we're in the hand of God, if you put all these things together, one thing the Bible teaches us is we need to learn how to be still and listen. You see, even those who were the greatest when we studied through the Word of God, they had to learn how to be still and listen to the voice of God and recognize it and learn what discernment is and how to discern the Holy Spirit in order for God to lead them. If not, you will be led by your emotions, you will be led by public opinion, and you will be led by false doctrine. That's why you got to learn to be still and stay right where God puts you. Two problems with this. Don't we get in a hurry? And then when we get uncomfortable, we don't want to wait. Number three, goes right along with that, is you must allow the hand of God to mold you. That's where we're broken apart and we're put back together. That's when God takes our will and our rights and He moves them over here. You know a person hadn't grown a whole lot in their relationship with God when the first thing out of their mouth, they start talking about their rights. You see, I'm just thankful for God's mercy. Here's what God's mercy means to me. It means I did not get what I deserved. You see, when I'm in the hand of God, He's molding me and He's trying to turn me into something He can use for His honor and glory. All the while, He's working on my vice. We've all got a vice. Every person in this building, you've got a vice. You've got something that you know you have to pray about. And when you stay in the hand of God and He begins to mold you, He'll do things with you that you yourself won't even believe is possible. If you allow God to work. And here's the last one. If you're going to grow in the hand of God, you must allow the hand of God to be manifested through you. Amen. You see, what does God do? He does what He does through His children. Mm-hmm. We are His hands, we are His feet. And what He does through us. You see, what we want to do as a church is become a lighthouse, a place that glorifies and reflects the glory of God, where people can get help. I want to have a prayer request, or you have a prayer request, and we pray, and that person walks through the door. And when they come in the door, and God begins to speak to them, and God begins to work in their heart and their life, we're not surprised because God is answering prayer. But we begin to praise God for what He's done, and we realize that He's doing it because we're allowing Him to be first. You see, there's a motto that I've had and I've said, it's not about us, it's about Him. Too many times people get in trouble and they can't see the things of God done because they're not getting out of God's way. All that we do it for His glory. Our work, our service, our purpose. And if I look at this and I think about being in the hand of God, the next thing to see is when God's holding us, we're His children. We're supposed to be a reflection of Him. See, I want my children to grow up and look back when I'm gone and say, I learned things about the Lord from my dad. I want my relationship with God to show that people can say, just like they did in the Old Testament, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they said, we perceive that these men have been with Jesus. Amen. You see, I would never want God to remove His hand from me. And I want to grow. And there have been times in my life that I felt like I was in decline. And I had to go back and I had to reflect and remember. You know, tonight we're going to have an ordination service here. And I mentioned this to Brother Allen, and I'll share it with you, and we'll ask him to get a verse of song. When I was ordained, there were some preachers there, and there were some deacons there and men who put their confidence in me. Signed on that paper. They asked me questions and they preached. And I can remember in one of the most trying times of my life when I didn't feel like I was growing. In fact, I felt like I was in decline. I went in there on the wall in our hall. And I got that ordination paper down. And I took it out of the frame. And I read every name. And I was reminded, and God reminded me of those people that put confidence in me and of who I was. You see, it reminded me, and it got me to the point. You know what I did? I just had to get down on my knees. I had to say, Lord, I'm not growing. Lord, I'm not where I need to be. Lord, I'm not doing what you want me to do. And God, I pray that you would help me fulfill it. Now, I want to tell you something. Those men meant a lot to me. And I want to tell you something. My heart's desire and prayer for this church is that you will grow. The men in this church, the women in this church, the children in this church. You mean a lot to me as a pastor. But I want to tell you why you should grow. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross and He gave everything that He had for you. And you've got to come and allow Him to do what only He can do in your life. If you're here and you're never been saved by the grace of God, number one thing God wants you. He wants just a relationship with you. You think, well, I don't have anything to give. Why would God want me? Here's what I want you to see. Every person in here, you are His child. He wants a relationship with you. Question is, are you going to let Him have His place in your life? If you're here and you say, well, I'm just not growing. I know I'm not. Well, you can. Just before she sings, if you rise to your feet. We were here Wednesday night and we had a youth service. I love coming to youth service. Our youth have learned to use the altar. And I was standing back there looking at them as they prayed. And here's the thought that came to my mind. It's okay to pray. If we would learn that humbleness, that's why Jesus said that, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. When did we lose that? If you're hearing God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, you'd like to come and talk to the Lord about anything, this is your opportunity as you sing.